enemy collectively. We've been here together for probably average of, I don't know, 18 years together. You're 20.
Phony.
Both 17 plus. And then you got 24 and 25.
And I automatically called Ollie and the other co-founders. Like, hey, you guys do a SharePoint? Guess what the answer was? Like, absolutely.
Google, what is SharePoint? I will never forget when we had the hazmat guys, FBI. We had a film crew circling in a helicopter because we called in an anthrax scare.
What?
So that one won.
I very much want to hear your under this people story.
All right, so let us back up a little bit, right?
I'm Rachel Coble.
And I'm Liz Dean.
Welcome to Mock It. This podcast interviews industry experts from AI innovators to UX architects to nonprofit leaders and lots of people in between.
We explore the back of the napkin ideas that impact the nation, so you don't have to dig for the discoveries yourself. Enjoy and don't forget to like and subscribe.
Hello, everyone. We're back for a super special episode of Mock It. MetroStar is celebrating 25 years in business, hence all of the confetti. And we have some very special guests joining us today, quite a lot more than you're used to seeing. We talk to executives at MetroStar and learn about their leadership style, some of their favorite memories, and more. It's a really fun episode.
Yeah, this is a great episode to catch up with the Mock It crew, and I hope you like, subscribe, and watch.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Liz is up first with the first question. And I think it's like...
It's a good question.
It's a big one.
It's a little bit of a softball, but at a fast-pitch softball question.
I don't know anything about softball.
That's all I know about softball. So there won't be a lot of sports references coming from us. Maybe Taylor Swift, but not sports.
Oh, so. No.
So
daughters will be happy.
Yeah, exactly. Some daughters. So each of you have a different role at MetroStar. Can you share what your role is? And then within your role, what is the definition of leadership? And what does that mean to you?
Sure, I could start. My role is the CIO at MetroStar. My definition of leadership is not so much like a title or a position, but like an opportunity to set a standard, right? On how we go about doing things. And, you know, getting your hands dirty, you know, it's part of being a leader and showing people, hopefully, a side of them that they haven't seen, right? Because when you show them a side that they haven't seen, it just inspires them just to do amazing things. So just trying to learn from the team, trying to help them grow and trying to see them become them.
That's a great answer. A collaborative experience.
It is. It is. You know, we bring young people and, you know, we were all there at one point, right? We didn't know things. We're excited. And then just helping them find those sides of them that they don't see just yet. You know, it's amazing.
I've been on calls with you and you definitely do that.
So. Oh, okay. Well, you know, just trying to help people. You know, I was there too. You know, and it's good to see people grow.
He was like that 25 years ago too. So. He was a lot more mature than we were 25 years ago.
Hey, when you have, you know, kids,
it happens. Yeah,
yeah.
That was your rule, right?
Number one rule, right? Get my paycheck.
Get the paycheck.
And then you guys
party.
You guys party.
Were you the first to have kids out of the group?
Yeah, when I joined MetroStar, my son was a week.
Whoa. And he's been an intern at MetroStar now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. He
was the first person
that attended. Now.
Yeah, that too. He's been through a lot, you know. He's been through a lot. It's just, it was a week, so we had our picnic, and we brought him in, and I still have pictures of that, and just seeing that, right? It's like, he didn't know anything, and now...
Was it Jefferson Park or something?
No, it was...
off the gallows.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, right off the gallows. No, it's a little small one that's there that has a basketball court.
I remember we forgot to bring charcoal to a picnic.
Yeah. So we collected wood.
Wood and just fire. And
before you had a lily or a shoddy.
Oh, yeah. For a lot of
you. It was like, how do we, you know, we have a picnic. Let's come up with some fire. You got 10 people trying to figure out how to... create fire. And
seems like a great team bonding experience.
It was.
Like, you accidentally survival. Created one of those team bonding experiences that companies pay a lot of money for.
Yeah. It was a good time.
there were so few employees, we had to invite other people to come so we could actually play sports during the, didn't have the games go on because we only, there was like, what, four or five of us that showed up. Yeah. And then we brought other people so we could actually engage and play games and have fun.
I still remember getting taken out in a soccer game.
Like down on the ground, taken out?
Oh, yeah. Was,
did you get like tackled?
It was pretty good.
Name his name.
Yeah. Thank goodness you guys don't play rugby.
On the things that happen once. So you were talking leadership. So president, and I focus on some of the internal operations, but you were talking about what's your idea of leadership. And mine is you can't control the challenges and things that arise, but you can control how you react within those challenges. So that's something I try to tell to the team is we're going to face challenges all the time. We can't stop that. But what we can control is how are we going to face those challenges? So we try to go in and, I mean, this group, the entire group, when something happens, I mean, you know, our crisis react team is incredible here because everybody's in on trying to make sure we get it right and we get out the other side looking better than coming in. But that's what I like to say, you know, control how you are in those challenges. And that's what we need to do.
Is that ever overwhelming when it is everybody trying to come in during a crisis situation, though?
Well, I think we're better at that now. And everybody steps back and it's the, you know, you're there to offer support. Hey, if you need something, I'm here for it. Let me know when you need me. Before we weren't big enough to do that and you needed everybody. I mean, it was a small enough team where everybody was in there hands on, but now it's, I see it. If you need something, I'm here. I'm watching. Let me know when you need my help.
So as an employee, like in some of the, like the messaging, like when COVID happened or when some of these, executive orders come down, the messaging to the company is very streamlined. It's very clear. It's very, here's the action plan. It's very calm. And like, I find it reassuring because I'm like, oh, our leadership, like they're okay. Like they think we're going to be okay. So I can be okay. Like I don't have to, you know, be as like, oh my gosh.
I fill out my job application.
Yeah, exactly.
I was a pandemic hire. And one of my first questions to Debbie, who interviewed me, was how are you guys handling the pandemic? Because I had just gotten furloughed from a company that was not handling the pandemic very well. They were still going into the office and very stressful to me. So that was one of my first questions. I was very impressed with the pandemic style at MetroStar.
What was the question again?
So what's your role? And then like, what's your definition of leadership?
Okay.
Trigger memory.
Give it the drink.
So chief innovation officer, I mean, on the leadership side, I think for me in particular, I'm always learning. Like I'm continuing to learn as our company continues to grow and we're leading more and more folks. I think what Rob said is a big part is for me, leadership is being calm, being, you know, confident in our decisions in times of crisis because your team is looking at you for direction, right? But on the other side of leadership, I think one of the biggest roles and important roles is getting that team buy-in and camaraderie, and aligned to that vision that you have, whether as a team, as a company, as a whole. That's something I'm constantly doing every day.
Sounds stressful.
Yeah.
But rewarding.
Yeah.
All right, Mo, you're up.
Well, I'm our COO. Responsible for the delivery of the services we provide to our customers and making sure the vast majority of our employees have what they need to be successful in delivering and supporting our clients. Leadership. So for me, definition of leadership, it's really, you know, how you step into the role and how you support others. In the role I'm in today, it's really all about bringing the teams together and helping them realize their maximum potential in all times and not accepting the status quo. And so continuously pushing for greatness. We're doing what we do as leaders supporting our nation. And so it's an important mission we support. And so accepting status quo is something all of our team members and our leaders know they've got to continue to strive for greatness. And, you know, at times, for me, it's stepping in their role and just understanding more about what they're faced with. We talked about crisis. I mean, on a given day, yesterday, 9 a.m, it was just after an 8 a.m. meeting with Ali, with the CEO and talking about, you know, the strategy. You come in 9 a.m. and our largest business unit is got some challenges going on first thing in the morning. And so how do you help them and strategize? And by 8 o'clock last night, that challenge that they were faced with, our project manager, she realized the impact she can make. And she realized that she's empowered to really make a greater difference. And that's what we push for, in helping our people achieve their greatness.
Do you prefer a challenge early in the morning or late at night?
It's all the same. Yeah. Keep them coming. And it's an opportunity. You know, it's not so much a challenge, and it's an opportunity that we have in front of ourselves. And when we work together as a team, and on the way to an event last night, I got our head of citizen services calling me and saying, you know, I'm really focusing on growing and strategizing and helping us continue to build. And she was just so grateful how her peer contacted her over the weekend and said, hey, I'm here to help you. I've been doing this for a long time, and just seeing how the teams are working together is just the most satisfying thing for me.
Takes a village.
It 100% takes a village, and, you know, I rely on these folks and others to make it all happen. And you all, most importantly.
How do you build that camaraderie within your team to, you know, lend a hand, like have your teammates lend a hand to each other?
It's really about setting the dialogue and setting the precedence. And we talk about things openly as a team. We get together once a week, the leadership team, the folks who directly report to me, I'm referencing, and we make sure that they're talking to each other. And I try my best to stay quiet and help them help each other. And because they've all done it. They know what they're faced with. They've all experienced it. And sure, there's always something new that pops up, but bringing them together and making sure you're giving them a forum to support one another is what you start seeing. And we've got a culture. The foundation of our culture is built upon helping, supporting, and really being there for one another.
I think crisis brings people together too. Like, you're in the trenches together. I think that's why we work so close over the years. We have a bunch of war stories, but when you come out of them, right, it's like it brings you closer together.
And I think that's the unique part, right? Is like, not every team could handle a crisis together and come out stronger. That's what makes us pretty unique as a team, is the ability that in a situation of a crisis, we could come together and really solve the challenge as best as we can, and then like walk out of there stronger, not like, you know, weaker as a team. I think that's something that's mm-hmm. a testament to the team. It's like, it's not like me or Jorge, Mo, V, or Rob. It's just somehow, like, in a way, the universe brought this core team together, and others that are not around this table with us today, that every day, like Mo said, it's, you know, there's, you feel like it's calm, right? But there's a storm coming, right? The calmness before the storm is how prepared you are to be able to handle it. But I think that's a testament to these folks here.
I think it's a level of trust too. So you, with a team that's been together, you build a certain level of trust where if V has something to do, you know, it's going to get done. Mm-hmm. And what Mo went back to is empowering those leaders also. There's a certain level of trust that you build with them, and they feel that they're trusted to make these decisions and that you're there to support them in that decision. So they're more comfortable to do so. So building that trust with them helps bring it together as well.
So that you're okay. I want to, this is a very good,
you segue, Liz.
Segue to a question that's a little bit further down, but it's a
go
perfect.
For it.
So, this question is directed at Robin Ollie, but I think it segues perfectly to the group at hand. So there is an American academic who cited 10% of co-founders and partners break up within the first year. How have you been able to maintain your relationship and then the relationship of everyone at the table for 25 years? I mean, you guys have just, you know, crushed that statistic.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's another co-founder that's not here, so, which is still a very good friend. And it does happen. You're right. It's a marriage, right? And I think that that pillow in bed is for, you know, tears and laughter, and you have to know how to balance that. And I think over the years, where the challenge becomes is management of kind of, how do I say this? Of roles and responsibility and how you could scale as an individual in as the organization grows, right? And I think that's kind of back to, I think where my role as a leader is being aware of what is evolving within MetroStar, because it's a living organism, right? It's 25 years ago where we were, 5 years ago where we were, last year where we are to today. And I think when a group of individuals could accept their role and their position on the team, it's no different than a sports team, right? You could be rooting for me, but you really want my position. Like, you know, yeah, go score a touchdown, but I really want that position. But are you willing to put in that type of hard work to be able to actually earn that position? Are you able to build a trust within your team to do that? So I think maybe I haven't read that paper you're referencing, but I think in partnerships, it is. There's challenges there. But I think if the core group of individuals could evolve and adapt in their specific roles, I think it's interesting to ask everybody what your first role was when you came into the company. My business card was actually director of marketing.
Wow.
At the beginning, I did not feel like I put myself as a CEO, and I was like hesitant on it. So I was like, hey, I'll do the marketing side. Rob was sales.
Yeah.
So from that side, it's like, you know, again, it wasn't, you know, we were co-founders, we were comfortable, but I was like, hey, I know how to best promote the company, and that's what I want to do. And I felt comfortable in that role. And over the years, I was like, well, no, I'm comfortable leading a team. Right. And, I think that's, it's a big challenge, right? It's, you know, I think Rob and I have had our differences over the years. It's how you get through those differences and accept what we're doing as individuals and together what we do is what keeps a healthy partnership, I think, in anything going, right? Even amongst this team here, right? I mean, collectively, we've been here together for probably average of, I don't know, 18 years together. You're 20,
so 20.
Most 17 plus. And then you got 24 and 25.
I'm 21.
I'm a writer. Please don't ask me to do math right now.
21 years, this group right here has been together. And I think that's a testament to all of them, all of us together, right?
Yeah.
Very impressive. Is there a personal philosophy or mantra that has guided you throughout your tenure at MetroStar? Could be for anyone as well.
Mine is it's just you got to love everything that comes your way. So you have to love it all.
That sounds hard.
It is because right immediately you go into all the great things. You want to try to avoid the not so great things. But for me, it's been like focus on that, the not so great things, the things that are negative, because when you do that, you actually find some gems there, right? If you put the work and it's tough, you know, because we want everything to go right for everyone. But when you focus on the not so good things and you work through that and it's hard work, right? You find some amazing things that contribute to that positive thing that we all want to have in life. So, you know, when things go wrong, there's a reason behind it, right? When someone wants to leave, there's a reason behind it. It's like we're on a journey and, you know, sometimes we're going to temporarily be working together, and at some point you're probably going to choose to leave, and that's okay too. You know, it's part of everyone's growth. So for me, it's just I have to love it all, especially the parts that I mean I enjoy, because if I do the hard work, I'll find something in there.
So very glass half full. I love it.
I think for me, I mean, if you get knocked down, get back up. I think that's my mantra, right? Or, you know, you can lose a battle but not the war. Like, you're always going to have challenges, but as long as you have your team members and you motivate them as leaders to get back up, because there's still a lot more to do. You can't try to dwell on the downtimes too much.
Can have full.
I like that. I feel like that's just a good life philosophy, not just for work.
work kind of becomes life. Yeah, sometimes.
It's like there's no line at some point. It's like it's kind of hard, you know, to be like, oh, just purely work, purely home.
And at this point, you guys are truly friends. Mm-hmm. You've been together for so long, it almost feels like family. So that has to even blend the lines a little bit more.
My wife, it's, you know, she's a constant reminder. It's like, oh, so you're talking to your other wife. So whenever Ali calls me, it's like, oh, my other wife is, your other wife is calling you?
Pretty handsome.
Like, very nice work.
It's, you know, and if anything, I appreciate her, like, opening that, right? It's like, I know that we have family time. Sometimes it blends and it's okay. And at some point it's more, I try not to call it work. It's just part of what I do, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's great because it's, I see people that, you know, have to go to work. Oh, I gotta get out. Right. And it's, I don't want to be there. Right. If that's the energy that I bring in, do I really want to be there? I'm lucky that I don't have to do that. And I just, you know, come and do fun stuff with fun people.
Oh. I mean, just the same thing. You can only control what you can't control. You can't control what happens around you, whether it's at the macro, micro level. It's just control what you can control and work on that. And that's where you spend your time focusing.
Do you think having families has helped you with work-life balance even more than maybe at the start? Or has it made your lives just
blow it up?
Very
yeah, you've learned to balance it, right? I mean, you got to balance it.
I think it's given me more empathy since when I was younger.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's for sure.
Like if someone needs to be late because they're dropping their kid off or.
No, kids. Why? Yeah, there's a lot there, but realizing, you know, people have just things going on in their lives. Like when you're young, you don't have that much, you know, it's like, go to work, grind it out. What are you talking about? You got to take a day off. You're like, you know what? No, but having a family, I think it's helped me on that piece.
It's nice to hear. I don't think there could be a more family-friendly group to work with. Like, I got married right before I started at MetroStar, so I've literally grown my family, and then now my baby, toddler, he's still my baby, he's two, but everyone has been, like, out of their way, empathetic, nice, kind, understanding, like, everything that you could be, that you, like, strive for, that people talk about, of, like, family-life balance. People really mean it here. Like there is, like there, everyone's so understanding. So the culture that has, like, it's top down. So thank you for creating that. Like, I really appreciate that. And I, like, I'm very, very grateful.
Me too. I'm not worried about maternity leave at all.
That's a hard thing to do too, right? It's just creating an environment where people, yeah, at some point you want people to feel empowered to do the amazing things that they can do if they have that autonomy to do things, you know, and it's hard to create an environment like that. So it doesn't happen by magic. It's a lot of people that are not here, right, that contributed to that.
Yes, absolutely.
So what originally, this question might be for a few of you or all of you could answer, but what originally drew you to MetroStar and how have your perceptions changed? This is your brainchild, so I don't know if you two want to answer it, but, you know.
Yeah, mine was unemployment.
I worked for a different company out of school. And when I was on that project, we needed a position, someone who does SharePoint. And this is when SharePoint, like, was just coming out.
2 years old or something.
Yeah, not even. And I automatically called Ali and the other co-founder was like, hey, you guys do SharePoint? Guess what the answer was? Like, absolutely.
Google, what is SharePoint?
So we actually got him as a sub to this company. So I
So did you guys know each other before you came on board?
Yeah.
College.
You went to JME too?
G.
At least he's a marketing rights to his.
I just made a crossword puzzle for us where it was GMU2.
It was a G.
We won't hold that against you, HR.
You can. It's okay.
We will.
There is a JMU in Virginia, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I think I got him a subcontract while I was at this company, and there it was like, you know, Ali, why don't you just come join us? And, that was that.
Thanks. What made you want to join, Will?
Well, I'm the rookie out of the crew.
I wouldn't say 17 plus years.
We're the rookies out of this table.
Maybe, but just by years. You guys are the pros. You know, I referenced Ali and I meeting yesterday morning, and one of the things he stated is exactly and why I chose to come here and continue to stay here is the opportunity. And I share this with everyone. They ask this question really to get the best out of yourself. And there's no holding you back to help the company achieve its goals. And for me, and just kind of the passion I have and the things I do, it's very important that I'm not being held back in doing the great things I feel I can do to help a company like MetroStar. And 17 years later, my role has continued to evolve. And, you know, you talk about a different question earlier. It's just evolution and just constantly pushing yourself and having that passion and that drive. And so if someone was going to hold me back with my drive, it wouldn't work. And I've never been faced with that here. And so it's allowed me to continue to evolve as a leader, as an individual. So that's why I chose to be here and continue to choose to be here. There's other reasons, the people, and other stuff, but that was really the initial.
For me, it's, you know, I was, I went to George Mason University, right? And I'm a computer science major, so heavy on the technical side. I met one of the co-founders in one of my classes, and then he was like, hey, you know how to program? Sure, yeah, I can do that. I used to tutor like C and C++ students, so sure, I could do that. But I had a lot of friends too in the computer science department that started getting, you know, offers to companies, and I was fortunate that I had a couple that had taken some offers already. And, you know, based on their feedback, it's like, you know, I'm just a number. And it's like, do I want to be a number, right? I don't want to just be yet another number. So my big thing was find a small company that I can come in and make an impact, right? And have the opportunity to not just be technical, but learn other things along the way too, because there's more than just computer science, you know, anywhere. So for me, it's just finding a small company where I could just make an impact.
Oh, that is a great segue to my next question. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the tech job market is expected to continue its upward trajectory in 2024. Why would someone enter tech through our industry, government, our world, MetroStar, rather than fly to California and go into a tech startup or some big company? Why would they choose this world?
Immediately, right? For me, is the environment. There's a couple of things, but the environment, right? You want to go into an environment where you can make an impact. The second one is you look at who we support. Look at our customers, right? Mm-hmm. They're helping our nation, so they have some great missions there. So I think having the opportunity to come in an environment in which you can help our nation move forward is just an amazing opportunity.
Nice. Would anybody else like
that? Yeah, the mission support, right? If you love your country and you want to help, you know, our nation, it's supporting the mission. So you can either just support, you know, a country or support a company that wants clicks. I mean, it's a no-brainer for me.
Anybody else?
People, culture, mission. You talked about your personal experience. and how, you know, how rewarding it's been for you and how people support personal growth, your family growth. This is a company that allows all of that. And we talked about the mission. So why wouldn't you want to choose here? And if there's a reason you think it's some better opportunity, hey, you know, there's many people who value the great things we do here, great things we offer our people, and the great mission we support.
You're very mission focused on your work.
Oh yeah, going on a DoD project it's been really eye opening and just makes me really appreciative of fighting for the country work. I mean, it's these people allow me to have the life that I have and the safety, the security. So it's been really rewarding, but in a way I wasn't expecting. To have just like from personally getting to know everyone, the vets, the current military service people. So
that's great.
Yeah.
I also think, you know, something that Mo said when we were first starting to grow, we had the opportunity to travel and go down to, I went to Albany, Georgia. It's the Paris of Georgia, right? Yeah. But when we went down there, the thing that's different, Mo's been out and saw all of his sites that he's been to out to Arizona. One of the things that they said is, are the leadership of the company or for the contract that we wanted to go for, they didn't see him for 3 years.
Wow.
And we were the first ones to come down there and see it. Not only that, some of them were maybe hourly positions or everything, and we offered benefits to everybody. And they were like, we never got benefits and they needed it. And, I was hugged by one of the guys because his wife was going through something. And because we were able to provide the benefits, he was like, you know, I will always support MetroStar and I will be, you know, a great champion for you down here. You know, thank you for what you guys have done. Aww. So, but it's true. Companies don't go see their people. And I think that's one thing that we did is, and Mo continues to do, and we continue to do is go visit the sites and create those relationships.
That's wonderful. Where is a recent place that you visited?
2 weeks ago, Arizona. Tomorrow, Boston. So you name it. Just give me a call.
You're getting this freaking fire.
I'll be there. I'll be there. We'll all be there. Our teams will be there. We've got leaders who oversee all these business units, and they know, and they'll be there whenever our team needs us. And we constantly encourage, when's the next event? When's the next team building function? And we promote all our folks to go and attend and be a part of it. Love it. You got to get out. You got to be there for that. Yeah. It's very important.
Those are like, you know, you kind of think about what Rob's talking about, like the competition. You're like, these are the simple things companies could do. You know, I'm not trying to like, you know, make this like a lesson for our competition, but you're not doing the simple things. So what are you doing with the hard things, right? So like the simple things are to be present, right? And the hard things is what we try to focus on. Simple ones are easy. Go and be present for your team and, you know, provide the same type of culture that we have typically historically in the National Capital Region. We had a strategy to expand in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And now we have over probably 115 people based on a strategy of expanding into the Midwest between Indianapolis and Kansas City, right? Mm-hmm. Before the pandemic, we were in maybe 5 states. We're in over 31 states now. So for us, it's also the opportunity of like, how do we take the culture and the mission of what we're doing and expand it? These are the simple things are to be present that, you know, we still have to make time to do, right? It's there are challenges that make time for it. And this team does it. And then there's the hard things, right? It's like, now how do you keep this culture intact? And that's the hard work. There's no secret sauce to it, right? It's a lot more hard work that we have to do to keep the culture headed in the right direction. So
speaking of culture, can you go a little bit into why the acronym THINK is so important to you?
That was, you know, when we first started thinking about, you know, how do we take the culture we have and turn it into a culture guide? Right. Into a playbook. And we had come up with core values, behaviors, and it was great. But like when you ask someone to, can you share some of the culture values.
There were a lot.
There were a lot. You know, it's like, I think when I first took a shot at it, it was like 20, and then Debbie turned it into 14. And then we were like, you know, we got to have a better way that we could brand it and bring it together. So we kind of took the behaviors and the values, and we kind of aligned it, and we're like, well, there's trust, right? There's humility. There's imagination. There's our rule together as a team of no surprises. And then there's this kindness piece, because we are not a toe-stepping type of culture, right? And, you know, I got to give credit to Debbie for like, hey, aligning it to think. And, you know, it kind of encompassed everything into specific details. So like, okay, we don't have curiosity anymore, but curiosity, imagination,
hand in hand,
right? It's very well aligned. And then in the definitions, when we kind of talk, we brought all those behaviors and stories to provide why imagination is about being curious, right? Which is really, I think, a reflection of this team and others, right? Is to be curious of what could we do with market? What could we do with civvies and marketing, right? And that kind of became like, okay, now we put think out, everybody could think about think, right?
Yeah.
So it turned out really nice.
Love that. We love a good acronym in this industry.
Oh, yeah. And I love especially that. Especially DOD.
Oh my God, yeah.
I feel for you, Liz.
It's been a learning curve.
Do you have to print things out and like, I would have to highlight things.
I have a cheat sheet that I keep as a, like a notepad sheet of just like, what does this mean? Like, you know,
acronyms.
Oh. Yeah. Like, yeah, well, no, I wouldn't put but like DOD equals like Department of Defense, but then I go, it's just like the list just keeps going longer and longer.
Yeah,
to make you feel better, one of my first meetings with the government, because when we first started, we were trying to build a software. Mm. It was search engine, then software, because the search engine, we had built a software to help automate a lot of the automation of like forms and everything we were doing with the search engine. And then Jorge, from his background of C++, we started kind of learning C#, because like it was like the, you know, the whole Y2K. So it was like the race of like automating all these different forms and everything. And then the whole SharePoint thing was happening, like he brought up. So I was supposed to go to a meeting with one of this prime contractor to go meet the Don CIO. And the whole time, you know, 4 years out of college, you know, I have not done my best due diligence and research on Don CIO. So the whole time, I think this guy's name is Don, and he's the CIO. But it was really, you know, meeting with the Department of Navy, D-O-N, CIO. So I'm here at the Navy Annex, which, you know, doesn't exist anymore. So before we kind of go into the Navy Annex, I'm asking this prime contractor, tell me about Don. He's like, who the hell is Don? And I'm like, the CIO. And I forget the CIO's name now. It's like, Ali, that's not his name. This is his name. This is the Department of Navy. Check. So you got a lot of that's like a simple one, right? But it was like an entryway of us getting into the government. It's like, oh, you're going to learn a lot of acronyms. That's like preschool acronyms.
Sure.
That makes me feel a lot better, actually, because my first year at MetroStar was rough with all the acronyms.
There's a lot.
And sometimes they're not spelled the way you, like someone will say something on a call and you try to write it out and it's not what you think it is. Yeah.
I'm like phonetically trying to cache things, and then I'm like, "Oh, this is not wrong. There's not a lot
of side googling happening."
Yes,
my favorite one is McAwesome. I like that one.
You just gotta ask. Nah. Don't be afraid to ask.
I've started to ask.
You have to ask. There's nothing wrong with it.
That first year is scary to ask.
Though. You are, but then and then they're like, "Well, I'm not really sure what it actually is." That's the response. They're like,
"Be curious."
They don't know. They just keep using it. Yeah. Be curious.
I love that you shared that, because I wanted to ask you guys if you could share a memorable moment from your early years that has influenced your approach to work. I feel like that is very good. But
I'll stick with that one.
I very much want to hear your under this table story.
All right. So let me back up a little bit. Right. So SharePoint, we mentioned SharePoint. So, I didn't know what SharePoint was. And we had a need for a customer. Hey, we need to build something on SharePoint. So there were two, myself and another engineer. We had to spend so much time just researching what is SharePoint, look at forums. And this is way before like Google that was like common, right? So we just have to read document, actually pull out the book and read through things, look at forums and experiment, right? It's like, how do we do this thing in SharePoint? How do we put a solution together? So with the other engineer, we're like working through this and, you know, we had deadlines, so we just got to make sure we get through it, right? So what we ended up doing is just spending a lot of time in the office, and eventually we had to go to sleep. So we ended up taking shifts where he could...
No, but you guys had everything built on the table too.
Yeah, we had...
doing the testing.
We had an actual desktop and a monitor and it was everything in here, pretty much, in this table. So as we were researching and experimenting and breaking things up, we had to take a shift and, you know, I would go under this specific table right under here and just sleep for a couple of hours and then wake up, and then he needed to go to sleep too. So we would have like 5-10 minutes where we just debrief quickly on, you know, what he was able to find out and just continue, right? Through like, I think it was like 2 weeks where we logged a lot of hours. And it was, you know, for me, it wasn't so much about the time spent, you know, thankfully he was single. My wife was on board, right? But it was about the, you know, him and I kind of got to know each other a little bit better.
Very well, yeah.
And we learned, right, how to persevere, because, you know, we could easily be like, I just got to go. Yeah. I got things to do, right? But it was, hey, we are doing this for a customer. They have an important mission. This is important. You know, we're technical guys. We can get through this, right? Even though we just don't know anything, but we'll run through it. So every time I see this table, it reminds me of that time that we spent time sleeping right under here.
We can never get rid of this.
Yeah. It's still around. Look at
it. That's why Derek kept it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a solid table.
It is.
It was literally like good. Some people may want to avoid that experience, but it was great experience for us to get through things and learn something that we didn't know. And because of that, right, we were able to build more and more things in SharePoint and grow as an organization.
Your imagination was at work.
A way to bring that back.
Every time I see this table, it reminds me of that.
But, reminds me of your knees.
Yes. It lasts. If you just think like pure memory, not necessarily work or anything, I will never forget when we had the hazmat guys, FBI, we had a film crew circling in a helicopter because we called in an anthrax scare.
What? So was this when the anthrax was getting sent to a lot of people?
So this is pure, once again, not too long out of college. We get an envelope, and I'm like, Ali, I was like, this is addressed to...
The envelope first. No, he was by the door.
He wanted to open it, and he's like...
by the door.
Yeah.
You're
like, well, he said, I'm not going to do it. You have to at least stay here. I was like, I'm going to stay by the door. So I went over by the door, and I'm watching, and we told everybody else, lock down the doors. And then everybody's sticking their heads out and looking. I'm yelling at him, keep your door shut, you know? And I'm like, and he opens it, and as soon as he opens it, dust and stuff just poosh. In the air. And I looked right at him. I was just like, oh,
I just go.
Yeah. He held his breath. So we called it in, and we had the police, the fire department, the FBI. We had helicopters in the air, and we had guys walking in full hazmat suits. I've never seen, you know, coming.
I can't believe I didn't know.
He's coming in walking through this, and they pulled us out and separated us because we were the ones in the room when it was
locked down.
He was right in front of it.
No one was able to.
University Drive got locked down.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to leave.
Yeah.
No one was allowed to leave.
And then they got all, and they, and then finally they found out it was cornstarch. It wasn't anything. And there's a whole story behind that, but it wasn't anthrax. It was cornstarch. But just to watch when he opened it, he went zick and the cloud just poof, puffed up. And I was just like, oh.
So someone did mean to send it to scare you.
Yeah. What's the backstory of how this occurred?
It was
cornstarch, and there was a counterfeit bill.
No, but it was addressed to who?
It was one of our advisory board members. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a scary
that's
moment.
That's a good one. That was a good
but
one.
But then afterwards, we all had
the office too that day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You were probably on site.
I was on site. Yeah. I remember we got the call. Hey, you won't believe what happened. I'm like, well, I'm glad I'm here.
Once it happened, they're sticking their heads out.
You don't open any envelopes.
And you're trying to, like, stay in your rooms.
And when you said that, like, what we ended up doing is, like, opening the windows. Yeah. So everybody would open the windows. It's like, hey, what's happening? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Why is Rob yelling? And we're, like, sticking our heads out the window.
At least turning purple and itching.
I can't imagine the conversation that happened if Teams was a thing. That is so scary.
It was.
I don't know how anyone else is going to beat that story.
That's a good one, man. Yeah.
That is imprinted in my eyes. I'll never forget that.
It's like, that's how...
And then we looked up.
A cherry line could have ended.
I would feel kind of flattered if someone sent me cornstarch. I'd be like, oh, they wanted to scare me.
You are very different people.
Not during an anthrax scare. You know, that's a different
definitely not. I've been through worse in West Virginia.
That is not true. Does anybody have a memorable story?
Yes.
A lot of them are proposal based.
Those are good ones.
Yeah, when you're... overnight.
What was your big first proposal?
But I mean, the times when we had to print out the proposals and hand deliver them.
Oh, there is one the three of us
have. That was always a doozy.
Trying to figure out that figure two that wouldn't work.
Oh.
So, yeah, you're watching the
sign down the toll road.
It's like, let's just say 10 a.m., 9 a.m. You're watching the sun come up and you're just printing.
I remember I was still trying to figure something out on that specific one. Mo is going to plan B and not telling me.
Sounds like Mo.
Gotta be ready.
Yeah, he was like, had someone else like, hey man, figure this out. Ali drank a half a bottle of rum and still working on a proposal. Like,
yeah.
What was the exact question?
Memorable story.
Yeah, memorable story.
Can you share a memorable moment or project from your early years that has influenced your approach to work, or just a memorable story?
Yeah. I mean, you can't top this, though.
That
was a great one.
We've had some amazing parties. Always stories out of those parties. Those stay at the parties. We don't talk about those, post them. You know, I think something that continues to shape me is, we've had, you know, different folks here at different times, and, you know, we've all played different roles, but you don't want to accept the answer of no when you see a path and you see a vision and you know we need to do this. This is going to help us. And there's been several circumstances, and, you know, if you find a way to, Ali, you might want to look at this. This is an important thing. I think we should really consider it. Getting a lot of pushback over here. What do you think? Or, hey, V, what do you think? We got to figure this out. You got to help me. What do you think? And the outcomes of those, if we would have said no, our company quite possibly wouldn't be where we are today. And so it's, again, pushing through. And when you believe in something, making sure you speak up and really push behind what you're passionate, and it could really impact all of us.
What was the story?
Which one?
He just wanted to give us something motivational.
No, it was multiple circumstances.
There's two customers I could think about right away, you know.
Multiple circumstances.
So this kind of teased me up for maybe our last question. So thanks for the segue.
No problem.
Over the last 25 years, individually and as an organization, there have been a lot of ebbs and flows, both with customers as well as personnel transitioning and coming on board and stuff like that. How have you all navigated to the ebbs and flows, but to the success that we currently have?
I mean, the ebbs and flows are, it's just the reality of being in business and operating. And, you don't want to look back other than reflect to make sure you're improving. But if you dwell too much on some of those ebbs and flows, you won't see what's right in front of you at times. And so constantly looking forward, having a time to reflect, having a time giving yourself a moment, your team being there for each other. You always have to do that as well as constantly improve, but you got to look ahead. You have to be ready because you've got to be thinking about what's next for the organization, the team, the people. And if you're not doing that, then you're really not helping lead the organization and support one another. I think I kind of answered your question.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Look, team building is hard, right? It's hard business. And if you look at any industry from sports to software companies to services like us, and you know, our focus being more government and defense kind of, you know, service provider, team building is just a hard, right? You have a certain vision and expectation of a role, and when you put them into the game, it doesn't at times go the way that you thought it's going, right? And it doesn't mean that those individuals during the ebbs and flows of who's worked and who hasn't were bad individuals. It just didn't work out, whether it be a cultural reason of did it fit the culture of MetroStar, that brought some really amazing things to the table, or for that specific skill set you thought you needed, the skill set didn't really align effectively. And I think, you know, for us, it's, you know, yeah, you can't dwell too much into the past, and you do have to learn from the past, but to focus into the future. And those are challenging, right? Because you could never buy time back. And you could buy a lot of things. And, you know,
my father-in-law says that all the time.
And it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, right? You just can't buy that. And those are the things that we have to do as a collective team. We've matured to do a better job of, you know, we're not perfect still, but how we communicated, what's our intent for this? And to be fair to the individual that we're trying to recruit into this position or promote into this position or shift into a new position, right? To have that ability that you could grow in the organization. Team building is a hard part of sports, right? I mean, look at great teams and, you know, you put super teams together and basketball, do they always win championships? They don't. They really don't. So those are the ebbs and flows of how we've kind of been able to handle it and be able to still have, you know, we may have been together for a long time, but there's new blood in this organization,
yeah.
Right? At various levels from our side, right, to our second tier teams, all the way down to, you know, people that are leading people on a daily basis on the delivery side of the house, right? Or the innovation side of the house. V leads an organization that most of them, many of them are all new to the organization, right? I mean, what's the oldest, like, tenure on your team? 3 years, maybe 4 years?
Johnny Bowder's been here for a while.
Johnny's been there. Johnny was a
promoter into that
position.
Oh, Jason's been here.
Yeah, Jason's been here a long time.
Jason's been here over a decade.
Longer than Johnny? No, Johnny's been
Johnny's here. Fairfax office. Yeah, Johnny's been here longer.
Yeah, he just had a gap. But yeah. I'll give it to him if he's listening.
he's been a guest. He's probably is listening.
He's a superstar.
I think the ebbs, you know, getting through the ebbs and flows for me is, you know, you get in the habit of firefighting a lot with the ebbs, I guess. But taking time to celebrate the wins, like the good events that happen as a team, celebrating the good stuff and not dwelling on, you know, so much of the firefighting. I think that's important to get you through. And the next thing you know, it's 5 years, 10 years, 15, 25.
Goes by in a blink.
So,
Yeah, Mo said it. V just said it. Ali says it all the time. Jorge says it. You even see in our management meetings, we have a little column that says wins, right? Oh. And it's acknowledging the wins, you know, letting people know that they've contributed to something and that we're going to celebrate it. And then learning from some of the losses. And, you know, like Mo said, you always are looking at the future, but we take time out to celebrate. And we'll be doing that in 2 weeks too, to take a time out to celebrate another win.
Well, I'm excited that we are celebrating 25 years of MetroStar. Melissa and I are very excited to have jobs here.
excited to have you all.
Yes. This is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.